Welcome to episode 13 of One Bullet Pod. It's your boy Rags. We got Bonzer sitting here 3 hours, 13 minutes away, a little bit more traffic than normal. And I'm going to be brutally honest with you guys. I need a new intro because the Saw Dude got absolutely voted off the island from Bonzer's wife, my entire Twitch chat, I think all of Twitter and every single one of our listeners. So Bonz, put that on the to-do list. We need.
Yeah, I'm already getting sick of the time length from my host.
I am too. Yeah.
We need some sort of intro music, like, or an intro, like some intro, and then we need an outro. So any of our listeners have any suggestions that won't get copyrighted or, you know, DMCA'd, or
we just need some chimes. We're not even asking for like, or a riff, you know, something simple and something easy. Want to wish Warzone a happy birthday. Now, dog years, right? Every one human year is 7 dog years. Every year for a video game has to be like 20 years, you would say, right? To that respective video game.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Are we getting lit for Warzone's 21st year? I don't know, but this game has felt like it's been out for a lot longer than a year. I want to give a huge shout out to Warzone, by the way. It's helped a lot of people get through this pandemic simply by just passing time, right, with friends, reconnecting friends. As terrible as it is, it also has done a lot of good and is a really addicting and fun game, but we don't want to gas up Warzone too much because there's obviously a lot of issues still around it. But happy first birthday to Warzone, released today, March 10th on 2020.
Now, I wish I had a blood pressure sample from before Warzone versus now.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know what blood pressure is good. I think like 110 is average, 110 over, I think, like, it's
120. 80. Yeah, 120 over 70 or 80.
Whatever. Mine's probably 10 to 15 points higher because of Warzone.
Simply because of Warzone.
But yeah, fucking happy birthday, whatever.
Yeah, happy birthday, whatever, dude. Before we get into the episode, guys, we just want to say the support we received on the Manscaped sponsorship was so insane that Manscaped has already upped our offer to the next 3 months. So for March, April, and May, continue using code 1BPOD at manscaped.com. But ultimately, Bonds, we got so much love on that initial tweet, people using the code, tweeting it out. It was absolutely electric, to say the least. To say the least, it was insane. It was absolutely magic.
We're getting pictures now of people getting their shipments in. You know, people are using our codes. Yeah, all the support's been, it's been crazy. I don't want to gas up our followers too much because I still want them to, you know, keep supporting and doing more for our family. Hashtag or exclamation point, feed our family.
Feed our families, yep.
And MRX's Twitch chat. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy, to be honest, to say the least.
And what did you tweet out the other day? You want people who have used our code to send me pictures and videos of before and afters. Why wouldn't that just go right to you? Like, why? Like, you know,
I got a family. I got stuff to do. I figure you're just a kid. You're more in tune with the grooming side of things. It's kind of like I'm on old school, just let it grow side of things. So I figure you have a better eye for before and after. So I still think that we should do that. I also think future subs to your stream, you should give them tutorial on how to properly use the lawnmower 3.0.
You know, as much as I do want to get banned on Twitch, I will take everyone's word for it that the before and after went fantastic. But if you do want to send any, send them directly to Bonzer's way, not MRAG's way. Just want to clear the air. But again, thank you guys so much for the insane support. And now getting more into Warzone Call of Duty gaming. Warzone skills-based matchmaking. Bonzer is now a NetDuma user? Maybe? It's not Bonzer, but you've been using one, Bonz. Explain.
Yeah, I've been using one, and I'm not going to leak sources. Kurt bought one. Anyways, so yeah, Kurt bought one. We're very open with it.
Yeah, shout out to Kurt. He is literally like selecting the location on his stream and showing everyone and tweeting everywhere. Like,
yeah.
I wish we had more transparency like this from all top content creators, but shout out to Kirk, at least doing something.
So Kurt is raising awareness for it, and I will say his third game on a NetDuma, he broke his PR. He got 22 kills, I think it was. I think his PR before was 19, or I want to say it was 18 or 19.
Yeah.
So third game on, he gets his PR, which he hasn't gotten 19 kills in a while. Never mind. He just got 22 3 days ago. So you don't think professionals who are, you know, 3KD, 4KD players are going to be getting 40s on NetDumas? Yeah. It's bullshit.
And what was that lobby? Was it a silver, gold? Do you remember? It wasn't a bronze.
Silver.
Right, and that's not even a bronze. And the funny thing is, platinum to diamond, guys, so the difference is like a 1.1 KD compared to like a 1.2 average KD.
1.2, yeah.
Not a massive difference. But when you're talking about a 0.5 compared to like a 0.6, 0.7, I mean, you know, that's a pretty big difference there. So when you have guys that are six KDs in those same lobbies, that's why you're always like, I wish I can get a lobby that doesn't shoot back. But in your experience, Bonds, like Kurt's literally been saying, like, I've been having fun. Like, that was probably one of Kurt's longest streams in a while where was just vibing, right?
Same. We were all laughing. We were crying. Well, mostly laughing, but crying. It was just funny. We're like, no, I wasn't crying.
You just said it.
Not JoJo. Okay. But no, it was just like refreshing. Like, you're not running into. Why do you keep doing that with the coffee? You keep tapping the cup.
What? Because I got ice on the bottom. I'm trying to get the ice out.
Distracting me when I'm trying to talk.
I'm sorry. Well, just don't look at me. I love chewing on ice. So I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ. You guys see what I deal with here? All right. So back to what I was saying.
He gets hosted by Aiden one time. I had to schedule around him this podcast.
That's true. So yeah, the NetDuma lobbies were just like refreshing. It's like, okay, this is what Biffle does. Like, now I'm on the same page as Biffle. Like, we're in the same field. It's just like, I don't know. Same with Aiden. Like, some of these guys I see that are in lower lobbies, I'm like, what could I do in those lobbies? And again, I didn't drop any 40s, but I've only played at them for you know, a couple games.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, if you knew you got a bronze lobby and knew how to play fast in them, right? It's such a different experience. And have played in them for months, right? You get one gold, silver lobby here or there. Yeah, you'll drop a 20 bomb, maybe 25, 30. It's probably the easiest 20 bomb of your life.
Yeah.
Right? But the more experience you get playing him, I mean, you can just truly run through a lobby. Like 162 kills is.
And you have people buying you back. You can solo split.
Right.
Your team has money. You can push whoever you want. They're going to buy you back.
Yeah. So overall, positive experience.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 recommend a NetDuma. Or I've heard VPNs are also the wave. So.
Yeah. A lot of different stuff happening there. Just a lot of different stuff. So a lot of tea going around the park. And honestly, with RT, I think we should name the coward of the week. And, you know, I'm sure everyone has heard about this scenario. Myers Leonard using a pretty vicious slur on his Twitch stream, which has now resulted in him getting banned from Twitch, dropped by the Miami Heat, cut from FaZe because he was a FaZe investor. Scuf Gaming dropped him. I mean, everyone dropped him like that. And rightfully so.
Yeah. You can see in his Twitch stream after he says it, he gets a phone call from his wife, I think it was.
Really?
Yeah. So he gets a phone call. He goes, hold on, I got a phone call. And he goes, oh, I got to go. My wife needs me for something. So you could tell the moment he says it, like, his wife called him or whoever called him and was like, hey, Twitter's already blown up. Like,
wow.
That's also like, who has that word in their vocab?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone knows it's a bad word, but I can't tell you the last time I even heard that word.
My wife didn't even know what it was. I had to we were going for a walk and I was like, this guy like just got cut from his team because of a word he said on Twitch. And she's like, what word? And I didn't say it because I'm a respectful guy, but I spelt it. And she goes, I've never even heard of that word. Like, what the hell does it mean? I'm like, it's not a very commonly used word. Yeah. So it's kind of weird how even. So it's crazy.
And the thing was, too, he put out a statement, right? His PR team put out a statement that was like, he didn't know the use of the word, what it meant. But going literally at the context of the entire clip and watching it, he didn't just like it slipped. He like, someone said this in my Twitch chat, shout out Stats. He cocked it back, right? And threw it. You know what I mean? And he said it in a way that was meant to be insulting. Like, he was basically getting held out by a team that was sitting top fire. So instead of calling someone like, you know, you coward or anything like that, he said, this guy's boom. And I was like, whoa. But rightfully so. I think it was handled well on all parties. You got, you know, I mean, he's off the Heat as of now. And I think for the foreseeable future, because on top of it as well. And I know, you know, we're not a sports podcast here, but like, you know, he's averaging like 6 points a game. You know, you're not losing LeBron James here.
It's not worth it for them.
You're not losing LeBron James here. And now I'm also saying, too, is like he was playing in that clip with Teepee and Symphony and I think one other individual. They'll never play with him again. Like, what's the point? It's just a risk now. Like,
Teepee already put out a statement.
Yeah. Yeah. Teepee did right away. He was like, and shout out to, you know, Teepee did like a nervous laugh. I'm sure he didn't even realize what he said at the time.
No.
Because there's so many times in the heat of battle, too, I just laugh at something when I don't hear it, even in real life, not even in Warzone. Like, Bonds, I have, like, very hearing sometimes. Like, I can't make out some certain words.
Oh, really? I had no idea. Keep going.
Oh, okay. Ha, ha, ha. But then, I'll just laugh it off, like, And it's bit me a few times in the ass, mostly when someone asked me a yes, no question. And then you just kind of give a laugh and they're like, well, what's the answer? Yeah. And you're like, I actually didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Am I the best podcaster on the?
Absolutely not. But okay. King of the North thinks so, which is hurtful, but we bounce back. But that is the biggest tea going on right now, as that happened yesterday on Tuesday. And then on top of that as well, Cloaksy is officially a free agent. A free agent. So he joined a phase contract in 2017. And it seemed like it was very similar contract to Turner, TFU, whereas they both felt like they got taken advantage of. Cloaksy and TFU used to be duo partners. So they kind of went through the same experience together. And this just goes to show you, like, gamers are all-time trolls in the fact that Cloaksy originally tweeted out a statement with quotes around it saying, we want to thank FaZe Clan for their opportunity and everything. Literally trolling and saying, like, this is a statement from his either lawyers or PR team. And then he actually deleted the tweet, re-uploaded the tweet without the quotes. But Cloaksy is officially a free agent. Bonds, you want to get more into depth of that and, like, what you think about the whole scenario of contracts and these gamers and just your thoughts?
Yeah, if I'm Cloaksy, like, do you even need to sign to an org? Like, I think, why doesn't he just remain solo right now? Like, I don't know all the perks and benefits of having a brand, but if you're already established, look at the guys like, you know, Tim the Tap Man, like all these TP, like some of these bigger streamers now, like Courage, who like, or Courage is on 100
Thieves. Courage is on 100 Thieves.
But there are so many people who just like, they don't even need, they have, they're so big now. They don't really need anything.
Right. What and I think, you, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, what would you do? Cloaksy's already, you know, a little bit older. I think he's like, probably 25, 26.
Yeah, he's 25.
Not a kid where he like wants to sign to some org. Like, do you think he would think he even needs an org?
Well, you got
to
remember what happened with both him and TFU was they got signed early on in Fortnite in like 2017, and then like Fortnite exploded and they exploded. Like, granted, they were gaining a lot of steam, and at the time he was probably like, I want to be in FaZe Clan. This is sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And he signed a contract probably without reading it, which should be like, you know, a pretty good lesson to everyone listening, or sending it to a legal team, right? Because once you sign that contract, it's legally binding. Like he, and the crazy thing is he agreed to those terms, right? Yeah. There's negotiation in business, but the funniest thing about gaming is it's not only even in its infancy, but you're talking about, you are in negotiations with 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds who have no business experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just hear, I just want to be FaZe MRAGs. I just want to be FaZe Bonds. I just want to be 100 Thieves. And they don't think about who is benefiting the most in these deals. So at the time, it probably was a huge bonus, but that's the interesting thing about it, Bonds.
Yeah, it's become, and like we have, you know, Blue on the podcast soon. He's going to talk a little bit more about, you know, contracts with FaZe and what that looks like from an organization. But we've come a long way from like clans to organizations and like the way people do things now. It's, I wonder how many people have been, how many kids in Fortnite have been brought into a contract where they give away like all of their earnings basically just because they're part of, you know, this organization, which obviously it helps a little bit. They probably get some exposure. They get like a free editor or whatever. But yeah, there's probably been so many cases where how many times like these kids are going to read contracts. Like, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
You need some help.
Yeah.
And there's no shame on some of these organizations. I'm not saying FaZe is one of them, but this, I've heard a few stories where there's organizations who like do some shady shit with contracts
for
little kids in Fortnite. I don't know. Yeah, and it's any way to make a buck.
It's a tough spot to be in. And honestly, in business, unless you're working with an individual or a team or organization that really has your best interests in mind, right? The interest for that org, clan, whatever, is to maximize your talents and minimize the cost, right? It's all about net profits at the end of the day. Now, granted, you have some individuals who actually really care about XYZ content creators and other ones who look at it from a business point of view. So it's a really interesting spot to be in, but I think some content creators will join orgs for either a more steady income, right? Maybe they have merchandise deals or sponsorship deals that said individual just kind of wants to be able to get without doing the extra work. Like a great example I'm thinking of is Jowo signing to NRG or even Nick Merck signing to FaZe. Like, these guys didn't need these organizations, but there are added benefits to it, right? Like, so it's interesting. Now, granted, I don't know, like TP doesn't need one. Tim the Tapman's not on an org, right? So you don't need it. Could it make some life, some aspects of the life and streaming easier? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that always the case? Absolutely not. And both sides are trying to get the best of the deal. So it's an interesting one, to say the least.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough thing. For me, the yearly income would be big. Like if I can get benefits and a salary, like,
right?
Yeah, maybe maybe you jump on that. Yeah, it's definitely tough.
You drinking orange soda?
Yeah, I bought one today at the store.
Oh, okay. You're a big ginger ale guy.
I love my ginger ale. I still have it here. But I saw an orange soda, and I don't know. I think I had a dream of orange soda recently.
Really?
It's just been in my head lately. Like, I need an orange soda, and it's okay.
Dude, I love orange soda. It's good to have, like, once in a while to be like, damn, that's good. But you can't have it that often.
No, it's 73 grams of sugar, and my ginger ale is, like, 35, so.
Yeah, but one's a bottle and one's a can.
Yeah, but it's like a weird... Oh, I just spilled it. Fuck.
No way.
God damn it.
Is everything good with the electronics?
Just keep going.
All right, guys. Now we're going to a new segment. We're bringing on FaZe Blue. Bonzer's checking out the spill here. Blue is coming on the podcast. FaZe Blue, one of the best snipers in the game. It's sniping Call of Duties, wrecking lobbies for a long time. And before we bring on Blue, we want to give you a word from our sponsor, Manscaped. COVID spring break is right around the corner. And you know what that means. Spring break in your pants. Manscaped is here to ensure that the party in your pants never stops. Even Veronica Corningstone wouldn't say no to this pants party. For everyone preparing for a pants party this spring break, I have an exclusive 20% discount code. Use code 1BPOD, that is 1BPOD, at manscaped.com.
This is the best trimmer on the market for those of you in need of a chest or ball shave. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. Don't ruin any vibes this spring break or upcoming summer with some peaking pubes coming out of your swimsuit.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 1BPOD at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code 1BPOD. Say aloha to your new beautiful balls with Manscaped.
It's fucking go time.
Oh, it's fucking go time.
We're welcome, on the plane, Blue.
Welcome. One of the best snipers in Call of Duty history. Let's be honest for a second here. FaZe up. We got FaZe Blue. He's an absolute menace. Blue, welcome to One Bullet Pod, man. We're happy to have you here.
Hello. I'm happy to be here. My first ever podcast appearance.
Oh, let's go. Ever.
And we just went over this before, but we're like a very small step down from the Joe Rogan show.
Yeah. So, I mean, Joe I expect Rogan my show. Brand to like double after this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Easy.
Most look at Frozone. Like, nobody knew Frozone until he came on the pod.
Yeah, I didn't know who that dude was.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'd never heard of him, except maybe in the Disney movies. But...
Exactly.
Yeah, Disney, exactly.
Disney guy, Frozone.
Exactly. So, Blue, I really want to start here with like your journey from going to actually getting signed by FaZe Clan in Call of Duty Ghost up to like current day Warzone, right? And I think the real way I want to start this is, how did you start uploading videos? Was it something you watched ZZ Grizz's like COD 4 videos? Like, you really liked Pamaj's videos? Like, what was your inspiration there? And then also on top of that, at what point were you like, yo, I'm pretty good at quick scoping and sniping? Like, kind of walk me through that.
So, I mean, it was kind of a combination of like Grizz and some other people. I think the people that stand out are like Small Beans and like Toy Soldier are some names. They made like kind of, it was a combination of sniping and trick shotting.
Right.
So they would do like crazy sniping in Search and Destroy, but then do crazy shit for the last kill.
Right.
So once I like saw both of, like, it was always one-sided. It was either sniping or trick-shotting. Then I got the whole picture. And I honestly started trick-shotting when I got into YouTube and COD. And I was kind of, like, running the circuit of the really small teams. Like, nobody knew me at all. And that's where I even had to get the name Blue, because my name was Bolt before. And there's Bolt? Bolt. That sounds fucking awful now. But there was a team called Bolt Sniping. And as a squeaker, everyone called me a fanboy. Bullied the fuck out of me in public matches. And then I changed my name to Blue. But yeah, I started sniping probably MW3, like Drop right. Zone came out, and that was just super easy for some reason to snipe in.
Right.
But everyone could hit quad feeds, but then I started hitting like stuff that nobody had hit before.
Right.
And stuff like that. Like I was like inventing the standards on that game type shit. Or like, for example, I like was aware of the best players at the time. So I would like really, really look at their montages.
That's
see what all the comments would say. Like the closer was an L11 multi. So like there was an animation you could do in that game and make the bolt action sniper like the fastest sniper. So it would like make the slowest sniper literally the easiest if you were really, really good.
Right.
So no one really knew how to do that at the time. But I released a montage where like I had like 20 of those clips, whereas the best player at that time had one of them. And instead of even putting mine at the end, I put him in the fucking middle. So it's like I had like
he still got more to go.
Yeah. So like as you're watching it, like it was fucked for the time, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So I posted this montage called Imagine, and by the time that it had gone up at nighttime, I had like three of the biggest phase members hit me up.
That's crazy. Like
Rain, Apex, they both tweeted it out even.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And like this other guy, Dine.
And what year is
they
this?
Hit me up.
2014.
2014. Yeah.
Yeah. 2014.
So that's I awesome. Was a 15-year-old in high school. I think that's when I knew I was cracked, by the way, going back to that, is like I would just be greasy as fuck at school. Like I would just go, I was like good at school and stuff like that, but I would still like make my main focus gaming. Like I would right. do all my yeah, shit yeah. in school. I missed a few homework assignments. That's the only times I had course, bad grades. Yeah. But yeah, I had a main focus on COD because like I really, really wanted to be in phase.
Right.
But,
and for those of us, yeah. you know, listening who don't maybe know you before this podcast, I mean, the way I explained it to a lot of people when I first started watching you, especially on like Warzone, because that was the first time I really got introduced to your live stream, I would say, through Warzone. Yeah. I've obviously always known the name FaZe Blue. I was like, he is like just an all-time grinder. I mean, across every Call of Duty you've ever made content on,
yeah.
like there's a lot of people who, you know, they make a couple videos here or there where it's like the hours you put in and the clips you get. And you even said like going a couple months back here now, you wanted to transition to mouse and key because you felt like your shot on controller literally couldn't be better. And yeah. when you look at like your Warzone KD is a 3 KD and you run for the most part, like at least when the game first started, I would watch you all the time and you would run a double sniper loadout.
Yeah.
I'm like, this kid's just like yeah. a different, this kid's like a different animal. Like he's really like a different breed.
I
like
think
really
like,
just like an all-time yeah. grinder. And it's just, it's crazy for me to see. And I always try to explain to people like, you got to like work on like your centering and your centering. And then I go into your stream. I'm like, this kid, the only reason I know this kid is not cheating is because I've been watching for like 6-7 years already. Like it's yeah. it's insanity to be completely honest with you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, just to give you some premium gas where it's due.
The premium now, gas.
The reason why I like sniping, right? I do enjoy sniping. Is being a trick shotter like the most frustrating thing because you simply have to get lucky? I know.
Oh yeah,
some
that's
tricks and tips,
that's
right?
why I went out of it because right. it's literally there's things called a dry streak where. Mm-hmm. I mean, the main thing that makes trick shotting interesting is the fact that no matter what, like at a certain distance, the no scope is going to be random. Like it'll right. go like
yeah,
every
yeah.
which way direction. If they went straight, nobody would care.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, okay, you got good timing, but it's like timing and the distance and the fact, you know, that yeah. it probably took a lot of time. So some people going for the most insane shit, like could be like weeks on end without a clip. But right. if it's your job, like imagine trying to make montages for the biggest team and you're going weeks without hitting a clip.
I couldn't.
So,
pressure's
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Especially you establish yourself yeah. as like this freak. You know what I mean? So it's like your bar is so much higher than anyone else's too.
Yeah. So that's why sniping, it's like, it's kind of in your control as well. Like
mm-hmm.
if you're playing pub matches to a certain extent, you can play the game mode that you prefer, that yep. you know what spawns you can set up. You can play with sweaty people. Like even back in the day when I hit the most clips, I had people like begging to play with me and hold spawns for me. Like yeah. literally we knew how to get people in a spawn trap to the point where they would literally never go out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
you
it's
can
easy
think
for
of that
the
as
sniper.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's still like you're hitting the clip. You have
yeah,
to
yeah.
be accurate and know
right,
what you're doing to do that. But
of course
you're not also going to randomly see like 15 people in a row in repetitive fashion. So
I remember playing those games way back when, and like you get in the lobby and you're like, dude, I think this is a sniper lobby. Like you're just getting quick scoped left and right by an entire team. And you I just leave right away because I'm like usually with an a submachine gun trying to like push.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think I'm in a quick scope like trick shot lobby. Something just not right. Like
sometimes it's a curse. Like I pull up in a lobby sometimes and everyone pulls out a sniper. And I just want to play like people who play normally because sniping against snipers is harder if they're even somewhat decent.
Definitely, definitely. So how did it go? So going back to like the phase days, these people notice your tweets. You're already on that team, you said? Are you on that?
Who's Gamma at the time, right?
I was like, I kind of hopped between a few like smaller slash respectable teams. Like back in the day, there was like a ladder you could kind of grind. Like the typical way people went was like, they joined SOAR first and then they got in phase or like some other teams like Obey or something like that. So I really wanted to get in SOAR for a long time because I thought that was the main way into phase. But then the SOAR leaders even told me like, or told other members, we don't want to pick up blue because we think he's going to join phase. we don't want him to hop clans. Yeah. But I was trying so hard to join it. So then I had to join all the other teams. Like I wasn't like trying to clan hop or anything, but I knew the most respectable teams and I knew if I was in them, people would be like, oh, he's good type shit. Kind of like if you're in 100 Thieves or phase now, I guess. So, like,
how different was it back then? Because it was, I mean, you're talking more like it was a truly a sense of a clan. Whereas now I feel like these are more like organizations, right?
So yeah, it was much more click related type thing. Now it's like business. Like they have lawyers and contracts and stuff. I don't think we ever had contracts back in the day at all with any team whatsoever. Yeah. Like maybe like some typed up Google Docs or some shit that's unofficial you know, unspoken agreements. But yeah, now it's like suits and 40-year-olds behind the scenes.
And it's huge investors. There are huge investors in the world.
It's crazy to think about it, but it's come a long way.
Yeah, it's come.
But it was a way easier way to get in to clans back then too, because they were clans, not orgs.
For sure.
Now you need to have like a whole fucking agenda or resume, whatever. Like they have to see that you can sustain yourself. Before it was just like, oh, this guy's got cool clips, let's give him a chance.
Now you need social media presence.
You need everything to be personable. Whole package.
Like back then, you might not even need a face cam on your Twitch on your
stream. Not at all. Need
gameplay. Like
you could never have your voice heard at all. Just your clips.
Exactly.
And so, that's what's cool about it is like that's really how I even started. Like when I was releasing the montages, I had like FaZe reach out to me and even tell me like, yo, you kind of have to like build something with this. So even I made my first face cam and commentary while FaZe Rain is already hitting me up like watching my content. So my first like commentary, I had to like record on the shittiest mic ever, like try to make the shittiest jokes ever, like I was saying like Lamau out loud like and shit like that as a 15-year-old. So like they still needed a little bit from me back then, but now it's like you need to be way more. Like they don't just pick up people to phase anymore, which kind of sucks because like that's why the sniping community also went down a little.
Right.
Because if you don't have the end goal, like people knew if you got in phase, it's kind of like you're in the, that's where else are you going to go? Like I don't know type shit. Yeah. But now there's not even like a clan like that to go to, except like really like small independent sniping shit. Like Scope is the most recent one to get in phase.
Right.
He deserved to be in for years and years and years, to be honest with you. So
it's funny because he was supposed to be phase 5. He was the 6th one to join too. That whole crazy story. So
dude, if they didn't, I was pissed for a while, like for the first day until they picked him up. I mean, not even the first day. It was like an hour until they picked him up.
Yeah. I mean, that was still kind of crazy, though, because the whole time you heard phase 5, so everyone thought it was going to be 5. And then basically they released the 5th, and it wasn't scoped, and everyone was like, wait a second. So I wonder if they were planning that.
Pretty good marketing.
I mean, I would think FaZe Clan knows what they're doing, right? Now, how much of – because I always harp on this, and people listening, watch stream stuff, they know that I am head over heels in love with Black Ops 3. Like, to me, that was like – my favorite Call of Duty as of recent, right? And I feel like Black Ops 3 was a much bigger resurgence back into sniping and Call of Duty. How much of the sniping community fading out over the past, like let's call it 5-ish Call of Duties, is attributed to not only FaZe Clan focusing more on IRL content, but also just the games not being nearly as fun. Because I would imagine sniping in like World War II is
kind of abysmal.
So I'm curious on your thoughts here.
So this is also kind of what transitions into me going into Warzone. Like I kind of got unlucky with the timing when I joined FaZe, I think. Like if I joined FaZe maybe a few years earlier, I'd probably be like Pomage level, to be honest with you. Like or some shit, like I'd be like crazy huge. Mm-hmm. But I got into FaZe and my main platform as soon as COD went to shit for like 5 years.
Yeah. Right.
The jetpack era or whatever.
Yeah.
It went straight like in Infinite Warfare. Advanced Warfare.
Right. Yeah.
And then when everyone was desperately needing like a boots on the ground COD, they went to BO3. Mm-hmm. So even though BO3, like I liked BO3 a lot.
Right.
It was not right for the time.
Right.
And then they brought World War II, which was like, it was okay, but they didn't have the kill feed. They fucked up the kill feed for all snipers.
And the best play, right?
As and well the best play. That. Yeah. Like so much small shit that could have been good.
So yeah. when you're playing these games,
then BO4. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but yeah, like then BO4, and then finally like a good COD with Modern Warfare Remastered or whatever. And
so this is like right at your peak of joining FaZe, and
yeah, like, so that's like 5 years of time where I had to like kind of be putting out content, like just trying to keep it by, and like really, I don't even I like blocked out all the jetpack years. The only years I remember,
me too,
like World War II.
Those years like didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
I was obviously going to college, different time of my life. But so I would argue that, yeah, the timing did suck, but like if it happened a few years later, like you may not have been in FaZe, you know?
Exactly. Like, so like it's good timing as well. I'd say I powered through and I'm better for it. But
yeah,
it could have been much better if they just never fucking tried to be like a jetpack game or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Like, no reasoning for that.
That's definitely fair. And on top of that, just like you said, like those tough years, you probably got onto Modern Warfare Remastered and Warzone. You were like ready to go. You're like, wait, this is actually good stuff that people want to see. Saying. Like time to get to work.
And I was one of the few people who still like kind of gave all the CODs a chance. So I was still putting in hours on the COD. And then once it came out, I didn't have to fully fucking relearn everything. But yeah, I also like...
Good.
Went back to all the older CODs and stuff a lot because like throughout those years needed stuff to play. And even now people are playing Modern Warfare 2 and BO2 on PC custom servers, like trickshotting. So it's crazy. People just love nostalgia. You go though.
Sniping like carry over from COD to COD. Like I know the centering, like you kind of have that mastered. Yeah. Does it feel like, I know it's going to feel different, but does it kind of carry over like skill, like game to game, or do you have to like relearn?
So there's kind of two categories for sniping in that sense, like, and people kind of have an awareness of who's like, it's the Infinity Ward CODs and the Treyarch CODs.
Right.
So like, for example, Spratty is the god of the Black Ops CODs.
Yep.
Black Ops 1, I wouldn't touch that fucking COD with the stick. Worst sniping ever, like, in my personal humble opinion.
That's funny,
opinion.
Yeah.
But he is, you could look it up. He makes the shit look amazing because he just literally powered through it and stuck to it. And then like Black Ops 2, anybody could snipe on Black Ops 2.
Mm-hmm.
But then Black Ops 3 and Black Ops 4 were a bit harder because they didn't have aim assist.
Right.
But then he still made them look fucking good.
Interesting.
But then like Infinity Ward CODs, they have kind of the same mechanics like MW2, MW3, like all of those you can kind of hop in between and like kind of pop off the same way. But if you want to hop between like Black Ops 1 and MW3, it's like kind of a, different.
And going so back,
that's
to-
why like I was on the Modern Warfare CODs type shit because I like the fast type play style and getting multi kills.
So then what are your current thoughts on Cold War? Because it's really funny how in competitive sniping's broken because there's no flinch, but the ADS is terrible. So what are your thoughts simply?
So I mean, I gave Cold War a solid phase blue try. And
you did. You played it a lot. You played it a lot.
You were on it a lot.
Yeah.
Tournaments.
So, yeah. I really enjoy competitive on that game. I will say that. The worst thing is, though, the pros don't know what they're doing. They banned every gun, pretty much. Almost.
Yeah, everything's banned.
Like, they all just cry about everything being overpowered. But if everything's overpowered, just use whatever the fuck you want and be good with it. Like, don't limit the gun, like, game to two guns. So
if everything's overpowered, it's even.
Yeah, even the first like few weeks of the game, I tried competing because I was like, oh, sniping's broken, let's go.
Right.
But then they banned snipers as soon as I was starting to get really into it and like actually made connections. So I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
And then now they're banning the best ARs. They're banning the best, like, everything. But for as far as sniping in public matches goes, like, the skill base kind of ruins it in that game.
Right.
Because everyone that you play against is going to be either super bad if you're super bad, or if you're super good, they're not going to be sniping. They're going to be using the sweatiest guns mm-hmm. that kill super fast. And then, like mm-hmm. you said, the ADS is too slow. So literally the play style for sniping in that game is to snipe, like play back farther.
Yeah.
Like not hold angles clips. And shit. No, yeah, not, I mean,
not a clip game.
Once you get used to it. Yeah. To an extent, but you don't hit crazy clips all that often. It's like right. a lower standard. It kind of made everyone like be okay with quad feeds instead right. of five ons. So it's just not exciting to me. So that's why I went back to Warzone.
Right. This has been a question I've always wanted to ask, like, especially like a sniper, and I can't think of anyone better. So, can you explain why a split quad feed is not as good as a quad? Like, I understand, because it's like yeah. it shows you don't have true manipulation of the spawns and stuff, but I've seen so many clips where the sniper's like, oh, it's a split quad. I'm like, that's a sick clip. Can you
explain what that is for the non-snipers, Matt?
So basically what a quad feed is, simply, is if you get four kills in a row in the kill feed, simply. Yeah, so it's like phase blue, headshot, XYZ, four times in a row. So that's a quad feed. What a split quad feed is say phase blue gets two kills and then someone else gets a kill and then another two kills. So
I'd be out of control.
I'd be pissed.
The funniest thing is if you're just watching the gameplay, it's like the same clip.
Yeah.
But like the one variable you can't control is that someone else happened to die there. And I understand it doesn't look as clean, but I've always been like, why does that matter so much? So I'm curious here, because obviously I know you are very familiar with what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Simply put, aesthetics. Like, it just right. doesn't look as clean.
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, wow, you use split quad feeds.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like,
that's it. But there is so many people who have been like, bro, this clip is fucking ridiculous.
Right.
It's split. There's like a legendary sniper named Mountain Drew who made a whole series called Fuck the Kill Feed, where he just blurred out the kill feed.
I love that. Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, but the problem about that video is you also know that all those clips are split feeds, because why would you put the non-split feeds
right,
in the
right,
kill
yeah.
feed? So
it's just teammates love killing people. That sucks. Your teammate gets a kill. It's like, dude, don't shoot. Let me get
this. It sucks playing with friends and fans and all that, because the amount of clips I've had split by my friends and fans, like, is ridiculous.
Yeah,
you just always have to be like, yo, I have three up, don't kill. And I have to just always say over and over, like, yo, if you see me with two up on the kill feed, drop down on the ground or some shit. Like,
so that's playing, if you're playing with another sniper,
it sucks to say that.
Yeah.
But like, you know that common courtesy, because if you split another person's clip intentionally, that's fucked up. But then if you do it accidental, no one cares. But like, that's why I always glance at the kill feed. always. I mean, that's out of habit just from playing in years and years.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny, because I wonder if like you're in a scenario where you tell me three on and I'm like about to get into a gunfight, but the other guy sees me, like, you just got to fight for your life. Like, you got to not shoot, but not die.
And that at the same time, like, you either die or get the kill sometimes if it's unavoidable. So it's like, can't be mad there. But I mean, if you could fight for your life another second and I get the fourth, that's still preferable. So it depends, like, who you're playing with. Sometimes I play with some goats who really fucking play objective way too much.
They don't
get like any kills, and it's
passionate,
like,
players.
So if blue asks you to play Cold War and snipe, don't shoot anybody, don't die, just kind of
just hold this area.
Hold an angle. Okay.
Because if you take my kills, I'll be pissed. You split my clips, I'll be pissed.
Splitting clips. That's new to me. I knew the difference, but I think there are people, some of our casual listeners, that are like, what's a split quad versus...
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good adjustment.
And sometimes people be like, I don't know. There's a few things that come into sniping that if you aren't in it for a long time, you'll look like a straight up like newbie. Like,
yeah.
the number one thing that like gets on everyone's nerves is like people say triple collateral, mm-hmm. right? That's six kills. That's three collaterals.
Oh, yeah, right.
You just say a triple. It's another word to say on two. It's harder to say triple collateral.
Yeah.
If you just say I hit a triple, it's way easier. And that's the number one thing that new people say. It's like kind of weird.
I'm going to,
but
okay.
Yeah. And then also,
Blue, you know, Bonzer's going to tweet at you every day, like triple collateral for the next
triple
collab,
bro.
Yo, triple collab, bro.
I'll be pissed because you just have to sit there with a smile on your face. And then also, people say, yo, I hit a quad when they hit a quad feed.
Yeah.
A quad is four,
one shot. Yeah.
So that's what everybody's like, yo, I fucking hit a quad. It's like, no, you didn't. Why are you screaming?
I've hit like, you later.
Why are you screaming?
It's ridiculous. That's I don't even think I've hit a quad in a normal match. I hit one in like a sniper lobby.
Yeah.
Quad must be just insane. I don't think I've ever even hit a triple personally. Maybe one, but. Yeah.
They're hard because it's like half a fucking team in normal matches.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I've never been one for lucky clips. Over the years, obviously, maybe with thousands of hours, I've got a few pretty lucky ones, but most of my clips are like just accuracy type shit.
I guess I would say lucky clip because I've never seen it. In Warzone, you're at fire by downtown and you shoot a crossbow at a guy coming up a ladder. Matt, did you see this?
Oh yeah.
The guy literally propels like a rocket and like, does anyone know what happened there?
So I've had like one reply on that saying like it must be the ladders because another person like just shot someone with a normal gun and the dude like flew up, but I don't think it was as far as my guy flew up. So
that was
the dude like flew off the fucking map and then died.
That was like an all-time clip.
The ladders are bugged. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know he went that high. It was still wild to see this guy propel like a rocket. Like he was fucking on a rocket ship going to the moon. Yeah. Like,
I put that shit on a TikTok to believe I can fly.
I saw, right? That
Over 100K last time I saw, right? I'm sure it's
first TikTok to 100K.
W, man. But
I had one.
Gotta put memes on the clips because I don't know. Yeah, I just need to market my clips better is the main thing, I think.
Right.
I TikTok's out, but
yeah, TikTok's an entire different animal. And then after getting more into like the current day of Warzone, what would be like for me the So you're a back-to-back MFAM winner, right? Was that one of the cool, like, was that one of the coolest moments for you? I was watching that live, and I was also watching, so I think it was in the finals of one of them. I'm not kidding. Clutch must have brought you back, like, four or five times, and you kept, like, landing on yourself, get a kill, and then, like, four teams shoot you. So was that, like, one of the coolest moments in Warzone for you, or just competing in general? Like, walk me through that.
Kind of both, because Warzone is the first time I've actually ever even competed.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's still weird to me. Like, that's crazy to me.
I mean, I tried in Fortnite, like, cause back when like all the CODs fucking died out for years, I was like kind of giving up hope on COD because like, I mean, I'm kind of on the lower end of phase. So it's like, I need to hustle to make my way by.
Right.
And then like, if all the CODs are shitty and I literally was losing viewers every single year over and over and over, and I was getting better every single year. It's not like I was getting bad or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, so I felt like I had literally hit all the clips I could, like played so much. So then I was like, all right, I see fucking 13-year-olds making millions on this game. Let's give it a try.
Yeah.
Like I actually really liked Fortnite too. It's not like it was like a ingenuine thing, but I just wasn't as good as cracked 13-year-olds. So
yeah, trust me. I was like 28, 29 playing that game. Yeah. Tried so fucking hard.
I would get like so anxious in end games too, because there's like a million things going on.
Yeah.
And if you fuck up one time, it's like, all right, now I gotta wait another 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Play.
It was tough. I think it's gonna be around for a while though. It's so unique. It's just the dynamic cultural. Is so unique. It really is. Like
playing it sometimes.
Yeah, me too. Me and Matt played a couple months ago. We were doing scrims and we did like a cash cup, like.
Yeah, Curse was savage at that game.
Yeah. Curse still good. Curse still runs it. So moving forward, you're back to Warzone. Do you see that changing in the near future? Like, are you strictly Warzone?
Not that I see. I feel like Warzone is here to stay.
Yeah.
It has its ups and downs. Like, as a competitive Warzone player, I'll say it's so stressful with the amount of bullshit there is. But
100%.
I feel like that's any battle royale game, and it's still like people's dream to do. Like, I mean, this is all I do. So it's like, I'm kind of, it's all I see really. And don't like see most of the good all the time. I get focused on the bullshit, but yeah, I really enjoy it. And like,
yeah,
it's COD at its truest. And it's the only COD game that's ever stayed more than a year.
Right.
The only COD game that's will be consistently updated at the same title. Like, it's kind of crazy. So
yeah,
that's the one thing COD fucked up with is like every year you have to learn a whole new mechanic. You have to learn this whole new shit. Like,
I always felt bad for the pros because so much of the pros, thank God for Warzone, I feel like it really boosted up the competitive scene. But if it's a shitty game, what do these pros do? Not only do they not like playing with it, viewership's most likely down. It's it makes an esport very, very tough. Very tough because you're one bad title away from just losing a ton of viewership.
Yeah, we are really dependent on the COD developers.
Right.
As crazy as it is, like so many people's jobs and livelihoods and all this stuff depends on how good their game is. And if the game isn't, if it's not good, then all these people probably lose like money, jobs, like all this shit. And then the developers get death threats and constant hate.
Twitter from like, is crazy.
Yeah. It's and I've been to I've been to their offices. They're nice people. They sent me some sweatpants I'm wearing right now.
They're
cool. But
so they don't actually try to ruin the game, is what you're saying.
I mean, I doubt it. I feel like they're trying their best. But then I also see myself on stream all the time screaming, like, why the fuck can't you fix your game? Like, there's so many simple things. Like, end goal, I feel like they should have people like me or other people who know
the
fucking nerdy things that need to be fixed. Like, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be like a game tester. Like, why don't they have people who test games who are pro players?
Right. Yeah. That, that's what I've always wondered. It makes no sense because these are the people who live, breathe, and die the game. Yeah. Like, they know it a lot better than someone who's like a tester internally, you know?
Like, we have like maybe a Discord we can record bugs in.
Right.
As COD partners or some shit, but that's like the furthest our communication goes.
Yeah. So, it's interesting.
I don't know.
To say the least.
Hit me up. I know the COD devs are watching this podcast.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Trust me. Vonderhaar is, he's listening all eyes and ears right now.
He's listening right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even
through our computer
yet.
Directly through our Warzone PCs. Literally.
His bald head is a satellite.
Yeah.
Probably is, bro.
That's hilarious. Last question I got here for you, Blue, is like, what does a day in the life look like for someone who, like yourself, right? How much time are you spending editing, gameplay, recording stuff for FaZe? Like, what does it look like?
Pretty casual.
Sleeping in the mornings.
Yeah. I mean, like, the biggest pro and con of being a streamer, whatever, like content creator, is you are your own boss. So you make your own schedule.
Yep.
But like, you can also let that get out of hand. You can work too much. You can work too little. So sometimes I really overdo it and fuck my schedule up and then like get out of rhythm constantly. Like, it's really hard to find a really good schedule. Because I'm not even like a morning person. Like, I wish I could wake up at like 6 a.m., 7 a.m.,
right,
be up the whole day. But that's not like how it works. Because, yeah, my body just doesn't do that. I just like to be up at night. Yeah. So I don't know. So usually I'll wake up like from like 11 to like 3 p.m., depending on how late the night stream was.
Yep.
You know, spend a couple hours just waking up, figuring out what I got to do for the day, schedule out everything, edit whatever I have to edit. I upload like pretty much every few days, like maybe weekly if I don't.
You don't have your own editor?
Fire shit. I don't like, I can never find an editor who gets out what I want in my head.
Right.
Type shit.
Right.
And it's really hard to like get that out. Like, I don't even think I'm the best editor. I watch so many YouTubers that I want to like be as good at editing, but I still think I need to be the one to do it to level up my content. Even like montages, like I'm bad at editing montages, but I still prefer my raw clips to music than someone's editing being the showcase, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
Like, my montage that I made that blew up had literally no editing. It was just cut and drag type shit with music. Yeah. So Swamp people could fully see the clips. Yeah, but that's not always what works. As time went on, I found some really awesome editors that like I love to work with, but that's for like montages. I still don't like, if people edit content, it seems like they go over the top. Like fucking laughing emojis, like, aha, like meme here.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do I tell the exact percentage of that, like, and, you know, like, it's just kind of like a feeling for my content.
So. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But I still want to get way better at editing. It just, yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, and I found that, yeah, Bonzer's the boomer of the staff here. And sometimes to get out a TikTok takes a few hours, but we've worked around it. But if you don't know editing and you go into like Premiere Pro, good luck. Good luck. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, good luck. I've been there. It's tough. And then the more you learn, you're like, there is so much more I want to be able to do. And I just can't yet because I'm not there. So, yeah.
I've used like two effects out of like 500.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely insane. Bonds, anything else from your end?
That's it for me. Let's schedule some time where we do trios or something on Warzone.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll do quick scope shot. No, I'm just kidding. No snipers.
Listen, Bonds, we'll go on Cold War. We'll hold down spawns for blue and just let them just go over Rampage.
Okay.
I can't promise I won't die, but I won't shoot anyone. If that,
I'd feel so bad if I died.
Yeah, right. Three on. I just get headshot. I'm like,
yeah.
Just when people from my stream split it, oh my god,
yeah,
they feel so bad.
I can imagine.
That's so funny.
And I get genuinely mad at them.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Take the heat there, but we would love to squad up with you. Blue, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All-time grinder. Salutes to you, sir, and we'll see you in Verdansk, buddy.
Peace out.
Peace out.